Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined for the last time, not only this year, but also this decade, by Chop Chop Choppy Wop Wop, Pete Quinnell.
That sounded mildly racist.
Oh no, not again.
Hey,
it's Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm very well, mate. Oh, yeah, my, good. I've just seen the state of that microphone.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
That was you, wasn't it?
That was
it?
Me when I spat out my drink on the Christmas special. I know, it's horrible. Also, this desk is not clean. I'm just saying, it's not been cleaned yet.
This studio is a right state.
It's awful, isn't it?
It's not been touched. In fact, we've still got tinsel and like Santa hats just lying around everywhere.
God, that's a Xandermania t-shirt down there.
I know.
Oh, God.
But anyway, how was your Christmas?
It was really good, mate. Yeah, really, really good. Because I got to go to my parents for the first time in what we worked out was 5 years.
Wow.
I haven't been able to spend it with my parents. So now, finally. And one of them, because I thought it was always because of my job or my circumstances, I realised one of them, my parents were in bloody Fiji.
Oh.
Selfish.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, finally got to spend Christmas with my parents, which was great. I mentioned on the SmackDown podcast as well. It was really nice seeing my nan have a good time because she's got dementia, unfortunately. Yeah. But it was really nice to see her smiling and having a good time. So.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. How about yours?
Yeah, it was very lovely, very quiet. Mm. Drove up to Herefordshire to go see my folks.
Mm.
We left later than we planned on the Monday, which meant by the time we actually got to Hereford, it was dark.
Mm.
And I've got to go through lots of twisty, windy country roads where there are no lights. And it was persisting down with rain.
Oh, God, it seemed worse.
It was quite scary.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then I had to navigate my parents' ginormous hill, which you have to go up it in first gear. And
And
because we had all the presents and stuff in the back, like the back of the car was way down even further. It's not that strong of a car as it is. So it was a bit of a struggle to get up. But we had a lovely little time there with my folks and then went down to my in-laws the day after Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just kind of sat around a lot.
Yeah.
Sat around, watched a lot of films, ate a lot of food, had a lot of drink. Kind of looking forward to a January detox.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
I feel like I've... So we were watching a couple of episodes of How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, when everyone else had gone to bed the other night. And my sister-in-law and her boyfriend have just got back from Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought us back some Thai rum.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I'm not a big rum drinker.
Yeah.
But I very much enjoyed this rum.
Mm-hmm.
I had two glasses of it and I felt very sleepy. So I said to him, I was like, I'm not going to make it through another episode if I have another one of those. Can I have a gin and tonic? So I had a G&T. But then, like, I was just like, all I'm doing is I'm just drinking now.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, you know, it's a Thursday. Was it? I can't remember. It was a Thursday. It might have been a Saturday. I don't know what day it was.
Yeah.
So I lost all track of days.
Totally.
And I was like, I just I'm looking forward to stopping drinking.
Yeah,
to be honest.
And that was the same for me. I had a friend's Christmas, which we did on Sunday.
Yeah,
Which is the first friend's Christmas I've actually done. Ever.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was...
It was a lovely way to spend.
It was great, yeah. It was a really good time. And a couple of my friends, we had my lady partner and another female friend of ours did all the cooking, and all the men had to do the washing up afterwards. So there were four of us in a very small kitchen and just trying to come up with drinking games and games to do while we were doing the washing up. It was a really nice time, but I drank a lot that day. Good God, because we started at about 11 a.m.
Oof.
And we went till about 2 a.m., ooh, I want to say. So
it was a big day.
It was a big day.
That's a big
so
day.
Yesterday I was not quite myself.
Mate.
Yes, I very much looking forward to a detox now. So, yeah, for tonight, for New Year's, I am not drinking.
You said just before we came in here that you're not doing anything for New Year's.
No, me and my lady partner were planning to host like a small thing. We'll get some people over, play some games, maybe have some like snacky party food, maybe one or two drinks, nothing major, but we'll just have a nice little time. And we messaged our friends, but if anyone wants to come over, feel free to, we'll probably have this, that, and the other. And they're like, you know what, I'm just feeling really sleepy, don't know whether I want to do anything. We're like, totally fair,
yeah.
We're just gonna do the same, probably just have a pizza. That's about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not the worst idea in the world, to be honest. Me and my wife have got to drive down to Brighton. And I'm looking forward to it because I get to see my friends, and that's going to be lovely, and I love hanging out with them. But I've also got to drive to Brighton.
Yeah.
And that also means I've got to drive back to London tomorrow on New Year's Day.
That's true, yeah.
And kind of what I really just want to do is go home and just hang out with my wife and just sit on the sofa, watch some crap films, have a couple of drinks, watch the fireworks and go to bed.
Yeah.
It's kind of really what I'm in the mood to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to have that option.
Someone tells you it might be a little bit late for that option to come around.
It might be, yeah. It's also why we're going slightly earlier. Going live a little bit earlier, I should say, on the old YouTube channel, because I've got to drive to Brighton.
Yeah.
I've got to get there because we're having sit-down dinner at 8.
Oh, God.
That's all I've got to make sure I
can't be late for
God, drive all the way there. All right, well, let's do a quick email before we get into it. Oh, this one might be of interest to you. This actually was sent to you originally, but then it's been forwarded on to me by Matthew Perry. In reference to Randy Orton in my veins.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is something that stemmed from your SmackDown review with Dave.
Correct.
Where Randy Orton's Titantron just says, in my veins, which I agree is nonsense because he's a viper.
What is in your veins,
or
Randy?
An apex predator. not to do with in my veins. But anyway, Matthew says, I've heard you guys mention how you do not understand why Randy Orton has in my veins on his Titantron. I'd like to offer some insight on the subject. Randy has had several merchandise pieces with the line Venom in my veins marketed, obviously a play on the Viper aspect of his character. Granted, this merchandise dates back to 2015, so it appears they've just kept the end part of this line as a callback attached to some photos of the merchandise. I would imagine when you say that they've kept it there as a callback, what you mean is they just haven't changed it. It's been there since 2015, and they just haven't changed it.
I do believe I did actually read this email out, maybe, on a SmackDown, maybe, perhaps.
But that means Matthew Perry did not listen to that podcast and
possibly
just forwarded it on their email.
And he's just forwarded it to you, yeah. But I'm pretty sure I did read it out, because I remember seeing those photos of the Venom in my veins. But the thing is, it says Venom on the front, and in my veins on the back.
On the back, yes.
So it's still just in my veins by itself, really. It doesn't really make it any better.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, really, because it doesn't say that this is Venom in my veins. It just says Venom.
In my veins.
Blank.
And comma, in my veins.
And then whatever's just written on his Titantron. So I'm not fully accepting that as a reason.
No, it's just bad.
It's just bad.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's get into the main portion of this show, where we're going to be talking about what could end up being a very divisive subject.
Totally.
Because we're talking about the very bonkers, very silly Lana Lashley wedding that ended off Raw and ended off a decade of Raw.
Yes, it did. Oh my God.
Here is the show. It was a bonkers start to this show, and it was a bonkers end to Raw,
oh,
because
God.
We had the highly anticipated Lana and Bobby Lashley wedding. This is a storyline that I feel like has been going on now for...
ever.
I mean, well, forever. It's definitely been months, right?
Like,
when did Rusev and Lana come back?
So Rusev came back during the Mike and Maria stuff because he was Maria's... the father of Maria's kid, but also not.
That's right.
I don't know when
Lana came back shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So it feels like these two have been feuding for ages because they were meant to have a match at Survivor Series, but that got bumped because the Survivor Series card was so stacked, so it got pushed back to TLC.
But even that match at Survivor Series felt like it was like months overdue.
Yeah, totally.
So that's been probably since like September.
They've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And this is what it was building up to. And it's an angle that I think has been very divisive. Amongst wrestling fans, I don't think everyone's been getting on with it. I certainly haven't really been enjoying it. It's not how I would want to be using Rusev. It's, but you know, as we've said on the show before, I've said multiple times, I'm going to Dave Meltzer this situation. It got over,
yeah,
and it got massively over. It's the most over Rusev has felt in a long, long time.
Yeah,
so I can't fault them for making this work.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate, because you really want to fault them for making a terrible story. But if it's working, it's working, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. So, I'm not doing this as a little plug. I'm currently working on hashtag other projects in my spare time.
Okay, right.
I'm starting a podcast. Well, I'm launching a new podcast next year with a friend of mine, reviewing every episode of the classic 90s video game quiz show Games Master.
Okay.
In one of the early episodes, it's episode 7, I believe, one of the challenges, the celebrity challenge, they play WWF WrestleMania on the NES.
Right.
And it's this little kid versus Kendo Nagasaki. And it's wonderful because he's got this great sort of like, you know, comparison between this Chinese child and Kendo Nagasaki, who was like in his late 50s by that point, still in all the getup.
Nice.
But Games Master introduces that challenge, calling it the muscle and hyperbole of the World Wrestling Federation. And that really stuck with me while I was watching this segment because this segment was bonkers. It was stupid. It went too long. It was
way
overbooked. It never ended. It was kind of boring at times.
Definitely.
But I kind of loved it because it was all the muscle and hyperbole of the World Wrestling Federation. It was so dumb. And I'm not going to get into the, like, we will get into the LGBTQ stuff because that is very problematic.
Correct.
We'll get it, but we'll get, God, this desk is horrendous, isn't it?
It's terrible. It has
disgusting.
Not been cleaned since the Christmas special.
Yeah. Go watch that Christmas special, by the way. It's a big one.
It's a great video.
and so I did kind of, I got a bit of a kick out of how dumb the whole thing was. And I laughed a lot. And I think it's down to Lana. I think Lana has, like, while I don't think Bobby and Rusev are really into this, Rusev looks like he's given up.
Yeah.
But Lana's really thrown herself into this storyline. And I think she is the one that is driving this forwards in terms of my enjoyment of it.
Right.
Not saying she's good.
So that's one way to look at it.
Yes. I'm very interested because you and I haven't talked about this yet.
No, we haven't.
And it's been very divisive online. But totally. I'm interested to see what you think.
I would agree with you with all your original points about it. It was too long. It was kind of boring at times. It was dumb. It was stupid. Overbooked. And that made me not like it. And I really, really didn't like it. There was a couple of points where it got a chuckle out of me, like when Lana was trying to shut down the what chance, or when...
It should be what? It should be who?
It should be who? And the who is me?
Lana!
Which was...
L-A-N-A! Lana, Lana, Lana!
Yeah. Which is like, that was a good line. That's a funny little thing. But this went on for bloody ages. Jesus Christ! And then there were three different people came out, and Rusev came out of a cake, which makes no sense because Rusev said he wanted them to get married and he didn't have to pay alimony. So nothing really makes sense on it at all.
I think he just wanted to ruin their big day. He didn't want to stop the wedding. He just wanted to ruin the day.
Sure. Let's go with that. Yeah, there was just a lot of it that... I mean, I didn't really get on with the story, as we've already said. I didn't really get on with the story as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this kind of epitomized everything that was wrong with the story in the first place. Way overbooked, way drawn out. It was just a bit of a mess, what I'd call it.
Someone has just left a comment in our chat that's held for review because it's got a swear word in it. But he's just written, it was effing ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
And that is a perfect way to sum this up. Because this segment, it started off so normal. Like as a normal like wrestling wedding. But I did love Bobby Lashley getting married with no shirt on, but still wearing a waistcoat.
Just a waistcoat.
That love really it. Made me laugh.
I mean, in fairness, he saw Ollie in my music video punishment. I just wanted to copy his style, I think. So
there's a giant cake in the ring somewhere.
You know someone's going
to
be in it.
Either that or Vicky Guerrero's going to appear from nowhere to be put through it. And they don't have any guests because they don't have any friends. Mm. Lana is introduced as the Ravishing Russian for reasons, I guess. She doesn't have any bridesmaids. And they do a very standard sort of officiating thing. There's a guy in there being like, you know, blah, 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 wedding, 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 wedding. And then he mentions kids. And that was when Lana she suddenly picked into character where I was like, oh, don't mention kids. I don't want any monsters coming out of me, blah, blah, blah. All very standard stuff. You know, this isn't about Rusev, it's about Lana. Mm-hmm. She kept cutting him off. She said that it's the luckiest day of Bobby Lashley's life, or it's the best day of his life because he gets to marry me. I've allowed him to marry me. I've written your vows. Mm-hmm. Like, hours have been spent on me writing your vows. Very, very funny stuff. Like, you know, but it's all standard stuff.
Yes.
And then we get to the point where it says, is there any man or woman here present who objects to this wedding? And I'm sitting there thinking, like, Rusev. Rusev is going to come out and cause a scene.
Yeah.
But no, this lad comes out.
Mm.
This random lad. And he said that he was Lana's first husband. They got married at 18. Mm-hmm. And she left me for that son of a bitch, Rusev. And she left that son of a bitch for this son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. And she'll leave this son of a bitch for another son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then Lashley beats him up. I was like,
just delivered like a little choke slam spine bust thing. Bonk.
But and then like shoved him into the corner, which knocked over this little like Colosseum thing with some flowers on it. Loved Lana going up and picking it back up. But that really made me laugh. I was like, huh, well, that was random.
Yeah.
So then the guy tries it again. And a woman comes out. I was like, I object. I married Lashley years ago when we were kids. Like, I met him in the military. And it was a lovely day, and I'm like, where's this going? Lana just slaps her, and she falls on the never seen again. These two are never seen again. These two are never seen again. I'm like, God, that was random. Yeah. But, you know, it's the rule of three. So we have these two, and now we get Rusev. But we didn't get Rusev.
No, we did not.
Who did we get, Pete?
We got the newly made over Liv Morgan.
What?
Why?
And this is where it turned a corner for me.
Yeah, totally.
Because this is, I'll tell you for why. I've not been into the whole Liv Morgan repackaging mm-hmm. thing. I've never bought into this idea she's going to be Sister Abigail. I don't know where this come from. I've never bought into this. I'm just like, oh, it's, you know, they're just doing a generic pretty blonde gimmick. Mm-hmm. It's Emelina. It's what they wanted to do. It's Vince McMahon's dream gimmick that he's wanted to do for years.
Yeah.
And he's finally doing it with Liv Morgan. That's all I ever saw this as. So when she showed up in this segment, I was like, well, that was a twist I did not see coming. And okay, I guess she's part of this story right now. Why not? Hey? Why not have her part of this segment? Like, yeah, she may as well be.
Yeah. See, this is where it turned a corner for you. It turned a corner for me, and I was like, oh, for God's sake.
I'll be honest Jesus. With you, though. I wrote down in my notes, Liv Morgan comes out. And then I stopped because the crowd didn't react.
Not at all. Yeah.
And so I was like, is it Liv Morgan?
You'd think the crowd would maybe recognize her.
Yeah, I didn't know. And then I was like, do I recognize her? Have I just assumed that she's a generic blonde, ergo she must be Liv Morgan? I didn't really know. Because she had the thing earlier, like she had a promo earlier in the night, one mm-hmm. of her video package things, saying it's to be continued. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, okay, fine. Liv Morgan's here. But this was one of my favorite parts of the segment for all the wrong reasons. Because it took the crowd so long to work out what she was saying.
Yep.
Because she spent an inordinate amount of time playing the pronoun game.
Totally. Like, massively.
The love of my life is standing in that ring. They were a shoulder to cry on when I first came here. They are the love. They are the person that I'm in love with. They are the person. And this crowd are like, God, I don't know who she's talking about. You morons.
I think a lot of them were just like, oh, you know, Lashley. I guess.
Well, yeah, and then it was like, and then Lashley goes, I never laid a finger on her. And she goes, I'm not here for you. And all of a sudden the crowd like, oh, what? I was like, you dumb mother effers. Of course it's about Lana.
Yeah, of course it is.
Paul Heyman booked this, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what I would say. This is the most Paul Heyman booked wrestling mm-hmm. wedding.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lana and Liv Morgan are gay lovers. There you go, folks. It was done. And this was the thing I really didn't like about this.
Yeah, segment. Me too. 100%.
And this was total Paul Heyman shock tactic booking that worked in 1996 but doesn't really hold up in 2019.
Nearly 2020.
Just like, oh no, but if you say they're lesbians, the lads will go, "Why, oi, lesbians, why, birds kissing, oi, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
But the crowd did react that way. They got the crowd pop that they wanted. I thought it was a very cheap pop. Massively. A very, very cheap pop. And Lana and her have a cat fight. Paul Heyman's fingerprints are all over this. Like, cat fight and stuff. And then Rusev bursts out of the cake. Like King Kong bursting out of the
ground. Like you needed anything else in this segment.
I know, right? But like, he's been in that cake this whole time. It looked like he struggled to get out of it as well.
He did, yeah. Whoa! The top kind of supposed to blow off and he kind of hit it. And then the crowd popped and then the camera panned to it. And then there's still just the cake there. It's like, what are they reacting to? And then you just see the top kind of... There you go.
And then
off it goes.
Big brawl breaks out. Lashley gets thrown out the ring, I think, and Lana's face
probably some cake somewhere.
And Lana's face gets pushed into the cake.
Yeah,
and she screams like Lana Day. Scream. It was a very, very silly segment.
But then Liv Morgan got took away, and then after Rusev started beating up those two, Liv Morgan came back, and then it was those two beating up both Lana and Lashley. So is Liv Morgan playing mind games with Lana?
My guessing is that they are now both jilted lovers of Lana.
Sure.
And you lead to the intergender tag match at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lashley and Lana versus Rusev and Liv, the jilted ex-lovers of Lana.
That's gonna be their tag name.
The J-E-L.
The gel.
So that's where I'm guessing this is going. We're going to do a mixed tag at Royal Rumble. Mm. But yeah, actually, going by this, they'll wait till WrestleMania.
Yeah, they totally will.
Because they could do. Because you could enter both of them into their respective Royal Rumble matches.
Yeah.
And then have each other eliminate each other, do something through the most important show, Fastlane, and through Elimination Chamber, and into WrestleMania, and do the big intergender match at WrestleMania. There's always a chance they could push it back that far. I don't think a lot of people are particularly happy that Liv's in this storyline.
No,
but you know, as I said, like someone said to me today, it was like, I would have thought they'd brought her back into a prominent storyline. And I'm like, they did. It's the second biggest story on Raw. Like she's effectively, she's now in the main event.
Yeah, I guess so. Which is like, it's good that Liv is getting a push. I think it's a terrible idea to have the lesbian storyline be mixed in with this kind of soap opera Rusev, Lana, Lashley, love triangle weirdness, because it kind of really just says like, oh, and lesbians are part of that too. You know, that soap opera lesbian stuff.
Exactly.
And it's like you said earlier, it's like the 90s, kind of the HLA kind of stuff that they used to do. And it's very damaging for the perception of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the LGBT community would be very happy about it.
It's a boomer booked angle.
Totally.
Okay, boomer. And it really does feel like that, because I've seen, like, I think it was Joey Ryan posted on Twitter, like, this is why WWE can't get younger viewers.
Totally.
Because the younger viewers that they're trying to attract are watching this being like, nah, this feels a bit dated now.
Mm-hmm.
This feels very 1990s and it's not that cool anymore.
Yeah.
And it really sucks when 3 years ago, Stephanie McMahon did that interview where she was like, yeah, we're going to do seriously told LGBTQ stories in WWE, because we've never done those before. We've never taken it seriously. We've always done it as a joke. So we're going to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in your news today. I'll let you take this. It was in your news.
Yeah, it was in my news that, so Steph said that in an interview in 2016, saying they want to have more LGBT storylines and stuff. And obviously they have an openly lesbian wrestler in Sonya Deville over on SmackDown.
Who's great.
Who's awesome. And she and Mandy Rose have been pitching pretty incessantly to do a LGBT storyline, including them two, including a genuine real life lesbian, which would be delicately told. And obviously, you know, you would assume Sonya would have a lot of say in it and make sure it was told in the right way. They haven't done that. There was a moment they had on a SmackDown episode that seemed to suggest that was a tiny little tease of the direction they were going, which was completely dropped and never mentioned again and edited out of the YouTube version of that segment and all that stuff. And then they've done this instead, which is a bit kind of a bit of a spit in the face, a little bit, isn't it?
It's again making it into a joke.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not cool. And as I said, like as much as I was sports entertained by this segment because it was just so stupid.
Yeah.
It's not cool. And that was the bit I really didn't like about
it. Just like Seth Rollins. It's not cool.
It's not cool. Mm. Like, I like this in a way that I would like a trashy movie. Like, I love The Devil's Advocate. It's a bad movie. But I like it because Keanu Reeves is awful in it.
Yeah.
And it's Al Pacino being at his most Al Pacino.
Yeah.
But I don't look at Devil's Advocate and be like, well, that's an excellently well-told story about the devil and lawyers.
Yeah.
In the same way that I didn't look at this being like, well, that was a delicately told story about weddings and love triangles. No, it was dumb soap opera nonsense.
Mm.
But I don't think it was the best way to... It left a bit of a sad taste in my mouth as much as I was sports entertained by the nonsense.
Exactly, yeah. And I think if you take aside the lesbian storyline that they're going with as well, it's just not the best return for Liv Morgan either.
It felt very out of nowhere.
While it's, you know, a big story that they've got a lot of focus on, it's a soap opera nothing angle where she's now fourth wheel in this story because there's all the more important people are already in it. Like, weird return.
I get what you're saying, but like, I to look at the positive side of things, she has been brought back in. Like, because what else are you going to do? Just bring her back and have her do squash matches for weeks on end? Well, we're getting that with Drew and Eric Rowan and the Viking Raiders. Like, at least she's been brought back into a story.
Yeah.
So there at least is something there. So to try and look at it from a positive aspect, she was brought back into the second biggest story on this brand, particularly because our WWE champion is nowhere to be seen.
Yep.
So like she's effectively second behind Seth Rollins and AOP and Rey Mysterio and Kevin Owens. Like, you know, her storyline feels way bigger than Becky Asker.
That's true.
You know, this has been like a really prominently told story on the show.
Yeah.
So,
but if it's a bad story, that probably makes it worse.
But it's a story that's getting over.
I know, yeah.
So, I agree with you, and I'm certainly not going to say that you're wrong, that it is a badly told story.
Mm.
But it has been a story that has, for whatever reason, got massively over with this. I mean, I don't want to feel like I'm painting with a broad stroke here.
Mm-hmm.
American audience.
Tell you what, Danger Louis Dangle put on the WrestleTalk staff Discord server in the unpopular opinions thread that we've got on that server. I love that wedding. And then Randy Andy Datsun came in, all guns blazing, and just went, "You're the problem." Just like, this is why they keep doing it. It was awful. Randy messaged me on WhatsApp separately, so I was like, "I really hope you hated that segment, and I really hope you run it down in your WrestleTalk live review, because I hated it."
But it got over with this audience, just in the same way that this angle keeps getting over with this audience. Like when the other two spouses came out, we do need to move on from this story.
I know, we really do.
We spent 20 minutes on it.
I mean, but they took half an hour to do this bloody segment. We can talk about it for 20.
God, it went on for ages.
Yeah.
But when the spouses came out to be like, I was the first, like, the crowd were going, Jerry. Jerry Springer hasn't been on TV for 20 years. Like, and you know, the crowd were doing What Chance, which hasn't been popular for 20 years.
Yeah,
so, like,
it kind
of makes sense that we're sort of stuck in this late 90s period, it feels like. So maybe that's why it's getting over. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Patreon shoutouts for our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. Thank you so much for donating. These are the last three that we've got for this year. They came in after we finished them, like over the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. Thank you all so much for everyone who has been part of Patreon for the 2019. Hope you've enjoyed all the extra bonus content we put up. We've done hours upon hours upon hours of reviews.
Yeah.
Like, what's three so times? What's 3 times 12 is 36, right? Maths is not my strong suit.
Yep, that's the one.
Yep. We've done roughly 40 hours of extra content on the Patreon in just WrestleTalk Extra.
Yeah.
And then there was like 2-hour-long Ramble Clubs.
Yep.
WrestleTalk After Darks. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is like, if you go at the $10 level, there's like 50, 60 hours worth of extra content this year alone.
We have got one more super chat real quick from... NC Kitty Fishing again said, who would you have beat Brock Lesnar for the title in 2020? Also, thank you for pronouncing my name perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Aleister Black.
Good show. Yeah, that's actually a great show. So anyway, yeah, so thank you all to our Patreon pledge hams. And these are our last three for 2019, the last three for the decade. Liam, Midsummer Murders.
Woo, yes. And you get a cheap pop. Universal Champion Kenny Omega.
Oh, yes, oh, lovely stuff. Good. And lastly, not the mayor of Painesville, Daniel.
Woo, yes.
Thank you all so much.
Not a big one.
But let's jump into the Super Chats.
Let's do that.
And our first one comes in from Kevin, who said, this segment should definitely be in Laurie's test beds, 10 best moments of the year. Do another video. Also, long time no Super Chat from me. Well, thank you very much, Kevin.
Welcome back, Kevin, and absolutely not.
Jobber JJ asked, did Vince Russo book the wedding? Also gives Black and Murphy a big thumbs up. No, very much Paul Heyman did.
That's a Paul Heyman segment all over.
Ollie has said this numerous times on this show, and I'm in full agreement with him, that we always peg Paul Heyman as this big creative genius.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. But there's also this side of Paul Heyman, which is, I like to do soap opera storylines.
Yeah.
ECW was a very violent promotion, but they also used to do a lot of soap opera storylines that got massively over in the ECW building.
Yeah.
So it's totally Paul Heyman. Someone messaged me today saying, like, it was so Vince McMahon. I was like, that was so Paul Heyman.
Mm.
And then they said, like, yeah, I did think it was a bit subtle.
Wait,
whoa. It was far from subtle.
I got a tweet of someone saying, how did they manage to screw this up? I was like, did you expect it to be good in the first place?
About 5 minutes, but I think it's under four. Review's going to be going up shortly. Mm. Where I was like, I don't know what people were expecting from this thing. Like, it's a Paul Heyman booked wedding angle. Like, what were we expecting to happen?
No idea.
Jobber JJ says, Lana cheating on Rusev with Lashley while having a secret affair with Liv. Wedding was car crash, but that ending was something else. Sonya was not happy.
Yeah, talk about that in my news about Sonya and Mandy tweeting their reactions to it. So watch that if you want more reactions to that. But yes. I don't know what the story is anymore. I'm completely lost now with this. It's just like, they don't like each other. These people want to get married. He used to be married to her. I don't know about any other layers now.
KML says, Happy New Year all and hello, wife. James Dob 44 says, so Liv's tweets about darkness being heartless and destroying herself are pretty awkward now after last night. No way Liv was thinking this was the gimmick.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I will... As much as I hated this, and as much as I don't think it's a correct thing to do, I'm going to hold my judgment as much as I can to see where it goes next week, because then we actually might get a bit more of a glimpse into what this character actually is.
Oh, we know she's hot blonde. Like, and again, like, people kept looking at those videos and looking for, like, oh, like Ollie said, like, oh, there's definitely something mysterious. And I was like,
I even picked up on that.
I was like, no, she's a hot blonde that's taking a bath. Like, that's the gimmick.
I didn't want to believe it. That was a problem.
Mr. Doback said, and then, and I, in, you know, in the defense of those people that thought she was going to be Sister Abigail, and, you know, to James's point here, if, I've not seen Liv Morgan's Twitter. Like, I don't follow her on Twitter. If she's been tweeting about darkness and things like that, I don't blame anyone for thinking that there was going to be something other to this than you are hot blonde.
Yeah.
I was just basing this solely on the videos that were presented on Raw, which were, you are hot blonde now. Mr. Doback said, I was watching it. It was so cringe. Facepalm emoji. Was cringe at times. We'll do two more. Said Alex Jordan says, the first husband should get a job in WWE for that awesome promo work. Also, Randy is still one of the greatest of all time. I'm assuming he means Datsun.
I think Orton.
But, oh, okay, maybe.
But yeah, maybe that. Or Newman. But, also, the first husband should get a job in WWE. You can find out exactly who it is in my news later today. It's an indie wrestler. Spoilers.
Yeah. And All Elite DK said, I was made a fool. I made a fool out of me for believing Liv would come back after those packages. Would have a good comeback after those packages. It makes sense now, but how dare I expect logic from Vince? Well, that's it. You got logic. She was brought back as a hot blonde, and they brought her back as a hot blonde. So, in theory,
bonkers.
It has logically made sense.
Totally. So much logic there.
Somehow. Right, well, anyway, let's get into the show itself. They really put over the Lashley-Lana wedding. It's like
every segment this show. It's like, that segment's ended, and let's look at Lana now.
Yeah, getting every ready. Although it did lead to my favourite moment of the show. Which we'll get to in a minute. Kevin Owens opened the show with a big fiery promo. We got Vic Joseph and Jerry the King Lawler doing commentary on their own.
No Samoa Joe.
No Samoa Joe, because Kevin Owens was here to cut a fiery promo that was wonderfully undercut by him constantly thrown to the video wall to be like, and here is a video package to tell you things.
Hated that, but it was a good promo nonetheless.
Good promo nonetheless.
I liked when his music hit, he just beelined straight to the ring, no messing around. He's like, nope, I'm here to do my job.
Which is why I hate the video package thing even more.
Exactly.
Because he is just like, oh, I'm so mad, I'm going to call them out. But first, here's
a
video.
Watch this.
Yeah. In case you didn't see last week, here is what happened.
Yeah.
And then Seth and AOP came out with Seth saying that, KO, you're not seeing the big picture. This is I'm doing a sacrifice for the greater good. The greater good. And he says, if Kevin Owens resists, AOP will enforce his will. Because I did love that angle from last week, the finish him.
Yeah.
That was badass.
Oh, it was so, so good.
Loved it.
That ending angle last week.
Yeah.
Owens looked like a chump to start it, but by the end when they turned on Samoa Joe, it was awesome. Great.
So good.
Yeah.
But then this is the bit I absolutely loved, because like a big brawl breaks out between Kevin Owens and Seth is just standing there, like, you know, just sort of basking in the glory. And all of a sudden Samoa Joe's music hits and he runs down full of piss and babyface vinegar. Boots one of AOP right in the face, attacks the other one. He looked so friggin' cool.
This is the coolest that Joe has looked on the main roster.
Since the Lesnar storyline.
Since Lesnar. Since Lesnar. This was so, so good. This is exactly how I want to see Samoa Joe all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He just comes out and he can just beat up anyone and everyone at any given time. Just comes out, runs down, boot, punch. Come on, Kokina clutch on Rollins. I was like, oh, Joe, I love you.
It was so good.
So good. I love Joe.
But AOP got in, the numbers game, and then security runs down and breaks up. And KO does a big senton out of the ring to everyone on the floor. I thought this was a wicked opening angle.
It was great,
Absolutely loved it.
I think it ended with a kind of classic pull-apart brawl stuff. Security comes out and separates them, but then they jump on each other, and then they pull apart, and they jump on each other again. It was still fun, though.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed this opening segment. It was great.
Yeah. We see Joe and Kevin in the locker room. Mean Charlie walks in to ask why Joe got involved.
Why would you ever do that, you moron? Is basically what she said.
Yeah, well, and he's just like, well, Seth left me no choice. It's like, yeah, I mean, that makes logical sense.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens is like, when I joined this company, I never thought that I would have Samoa Joe by my side, but I'm very glad that he is.
Yeah.
And then security walking us around them. They're both being like, we're being escorted out of here, but 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 7 days to formulate a plan.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's going to suck when they come out next week and they don't have a plan, but if this is going to be a tag team, of Owens and Joe.
The Ultra Unit is finally together. Yes, this was please. The very first thing that Ollie and I fantasy booked on an episode of the Wrestle Ramble.
Yeah.
Because it was when like Joe had come in and he was sort of connected to Triple H. And yes. Kevin Owens won the Universal title right. because of Triple H. And they always said like there's this connection between Triple H and Kevin Owens and Triple H and Samoa Joe that never played into anything. Mm-hmm. But me and Ollie like sort of fantasy booked like, they should form a tag team and be called Ultra Unit. Because they are this sort of like big, you know, powerhouse team. Mm-hmm. So finally, Ultra Unit is becoming a thing. Then we got, this was fun, a TLC rematch between Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to echo too much what I was saying in review, so I'm going to pass across to you. But I will say that this really mirrored the TLC match, mm-hmm. where they came out to no reaction whatsoever, and the crowd could not have cared less. Mm-hmm. But this crowd did get into the match. They eventually got into this match, and by the end of it, were super into it.
Yeah.
Which is unlike TLC, where they just sat on their hands for the whole thing.
I was going to say, give them, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, and the crowd start chanting, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because they're just so good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both so quick. And Jerry actually made quite a good line on commentary saying that these guys can just mirror each other constantly. They're like clones. They can almost do the same offense to each other constantly.
Yeah.
It was a really nice spot where Murphy faked going for a dive. He was like, oh, kind of get the crowd going. And he went to go for a dive, immediately just turned around and sat down as Black slid in the ring. So then they're just staring off against each other. And then straight after, they mirrored the spot as well. Murphy tries to get in the ring and Black sits down. And I was like, this is so cool.
It's so, so good. Murphy got caught trying to steal a pin. Mm-hmm. And it was just so many like reversals all over. Like, and then as totally. The crowd started chanting, this is awesome. I love his spot where he does like the sunset powerbomb. Mm-hmm. He rolls through that into the sit-out powerbomb.
Sit-out powerbomb, yeah.
Really, really good stuff. They exchange loads of strikes, V-triggers by Murphy, brain buster by Black. And then eventually, out of nowhere, Black hits the Black Mass, but catches Murphy as he falls
with his foot.
It was such a cool visual.
So, so good. Because even the sequence before that, it was like counter, counter, knee, kick, going for a kick, Black Mass, duck. It's an amazingly quick sequence. And then he hits the Black Mass, catches him, gets him back up again, Black Mass again, and then Black wins. I was like, that is so, so good.
It was a wicked, wicked match.
Yeah.
Loved
it. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Just to have these two do that forever, please.
Yeah.
I was saying to Ollie last week, they should have that become like a Lee Dijak level feud where they just have matches all the time because they can, because they're great.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed to it.
I thought it was a wicked, wicked match. And like, I was so on board with this episode at this point because you had
same.
A really, really great angle. Then you follow it up with this really, really great match. But sadly, the show started to fall off a cliff. And I think like we can probably rattle through a lot of what's coming next because
totally.
It's a lot of this like same stuff we see all the time. But before we get to that, AOP are arguing backstage. Seth says that management have asked them to leave.
There's no authority figures.
There's no authority figures, but apparently there is a management that has asked them to leave. But Seth says that they're going to leave voluntarily.
Yeah. You're not kicking me out. You can't fire me. I quit. It was basically that.
Then we got my favorite thing on this show. Because Lana is backstage getting her makeup did. And Eric Rowan walks up to her and he's got his pet. And he says, my pet and I don't know if he said my pet, but I'm paraphrasing. My pet and I didn't get an invitation to your wedding.
Mm.
And Lana says something and he's like, okay, it's okay. We didn't want to go anyway. And then walks off. Oh my god, I burst into laughter. That's a direct quote.
If that seems a bit random, that's because it was. It's literally just like, god. Where's the invitation? It's fine. Don't want to go anyway. Turns away. Turns back. And just walks off. And Lana's just sitting there, just going,
okay.
All right. What was that?
Oh my god.
Why?
What?
I don't know.
So funny.
Oh, hilarious.
No idea what that was about. anyway, and then Eric Rowan beat up a jobber with a Green Lantern tattoo.
Kip Stevens. I spotted that as well. Green Lantern tattoo.
Yeah, cool. He also had a Batman tattoo on his neck as well.
Cool. Good guy.
Got more of Lana getting ready backstage. And then Charlotte Flair came out for a promo in her gear, announcing herself for the Royal Rumble.
Shocker.
This was a standard Charlotte Flair promo. She is the most unlikable babyface.
She's
on
so
the planet.
Bad.
Yeah, and she is a babyface, but she is dreadful at it.
She's so bad, isn't she?
And I don't blame her. I blame the writing that she's given. And I feel like she's told to do it this way.
Yeah.
But it just makes it like, I think they're saying like, oh, you should act like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
But his dad, you know, dad was a heel.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And it worked.
But he's super popular. He's over. He says woo and everyone likes it. It's like, yeah, but he has all the heel work behind that.
Exactly. And it like, even when he was like a heel when he came in for like 2003 and that, when they were, you know, in the Evolution, he was still getting massively cheered because it's Ric Flair doing Ric Flair heel type stuff. And then when he turned babyface, you've got all of that history of being like, well, we love Ric Flair and he's a legend.
Yeah.
But Charlotte's doing it here and it's just coming across as obnoxious and arrogant and not arrogant in the cool way like Randy Orton used to do it. Just being an arrogant knob.
Yeah. Because I think in someone else's hands that might be slightly more likable, I would say that even having this content in their promo would still be okay as a babyface. Just list off the achievements they've done and be like, and I'm going to enter the Rumble, and this time I'm going to win and I'm going to go to WrestleMania.
John Cena can make it work.
John Cena can make it work, totally. I think Charlotte Flair doing it just makes her come across just like, I should be gifted the title.
Yeah.
She didn't say that, but that's the way it comes off. Is she's like, I've done all these things, I'm great, I'm better than everyone. There's just something about it that is so heelish, and I cannot put my finger on what it is, but I just don't like her.
Yeah, and then she issues an open challenge, and Natalia answers. I was like, oh, God.
And then Natalia came out on the stage and gave her a look, and I was like, that's a heelish look. She has not turned heel, has she?
Yeah, she was acting heel throughout the match as well. Like, they kept putting over, like, oh, this is a more vicious side to Natalia.
She yelled shut up at the crowd.
But she was doing that when she was a babyface, in fairness. That's just a Natalia spot.
God.
Close your eyes, you could picture how this match went.
Totally.
Like, you could call this match spot for spot. Because we've seen it so many times. I totally switched off during this.
But also, the 24-7 title was there. Before an ad break, they ran around the ring, and then Eric Young got booted in the face, and then they were gone.
Yep. And that was your 24-7 title. It's not been retired. Charlotte won. I really didn't care for this.
No, not at all.
What I did care for, though, was Becky being interviewed backstage. It's confirming it's going to be Becky versus Asuka at the Rumble. And I thought this was a really interesting little wrinkle to this story.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought this up on Twitter earlier in the day, where she said that my contract is coming up,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not even going to start talking about negotiations until I can beat Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the blemish on her record that really has stung from 2019, losing to her at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done all of this stuff. I've been the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion. I won the Royal Rumble. I've headlined WrestleMania. But none of it matters until I've beaten Asuka. And then I can look at, you know, signing this big money contract and being the big star. I love that as character motivation because it's fueled by a passion for winning. And passion for being the best. And she comes across so genuine when she says it. I believe that she wants to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
She believes that Asuka is that roadblock that is stopping her, that roadblock end of the line, that is stopping her from being the best.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fantastic promo.
And as out of touch as I thought some of the other segments on this show were, I thought this was very in touch of what people are talking about these days, a lot of contract negotiations and locking down 5-year deals and contracts expiring and going to AEW and all that stuff. So for them to kind of bring that up and almost attempt to, you know, blur the lines, I don't think any of us actually believe that Becky Lynch is not going to re-sign, but just having that kind of, blurring of the lines of, or maybe she is talking about her contract negotiations and all that stuff. I think it's a really nice touch because contracts are a big talking point right now.
I think Ollie Davis would have run with it as a thumbnail.
Totally, yeah.
Becky Lynch leaving WWE.
Becky Lynch to AEW confirmed.
Lashley was getting ready backstage. That's where we got our first glimpse of the glorious visage of wearing a waistcoat and no shirts. Loved it so much.
Amazing.
Then we got our promo for Liv Morgan, where she said the old version of her did what she was told. This new one won't. And then it was ended with to be continued. It'll be continued later in the show, as we've already covered. OC came out for a promo recapping beating the Viking Raiders and AJ pinning Randy Orton last week.
Mm-hmm.
They want to challenge Viking Raiders for the tag titles. Street Profits come out. So they get into a bit of jibber-jabber back and forth. And then they had a nice competitive match.
Yeah,
nice competitive match. Dawkins got the hot tag, frog splash by Montez Ford for the win.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
It was fun stuff. And then Ford did the rope pulley bouncy thing for way too long, and he did it twice.
Yeah,
because they got to get them gifts in. Yeah. Am I right?
Or those TikToks
or whatever they are.
I don't know what a TikTok is.
Yeah.
Street Profits cut a promo backstage, and I felt really bad for Dawkins here. This should have been a pre-tape.
Yeah, it should.
Because Dawkins clearly forgot his lines.
Absolutely.
Twice.
Yeah.
And so what he said is that Street Prof, Montez Ford says, like, we've just beaten the best tag team in the world. So that makes us the best tag team in the world. It's like, no, you got to think bigger. The best tag team in the universe. Now you got to think bigger, fam. What is that? He said, we're the best tag team in the multiverse. Mm-hmm. Ford asks him, what's the multiverse? And Dawkins is then meant to give a very long, convoluted and scientific explanation of what the multiverse is. And he just forgot the words. Mm-hmm. At one point, cleared his throat to be like, choking on my words there. And then just stopped.
Yeah.
And Ford had to quickly dive in and save this and be like, oh, you're just distracted by the Lana Lashley wedding that's coming up later. Felt really bad for him.
I did feel really bad for him because he did really well in the match that just happened before that as well. So, yeah, for him to just be like, and it's from the theoretical... And a lot of Lashley wedding.
Man. It sucked. Should have been a pre-tape.
Totally.
Should have been a pre-tape. Yeah.
And it's a hard promo to cut when you're supposed to do a scientific explanation of the multiverse
After wrestling a match.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins came out. They were announced for a 2-on-1 handicap match against Drew McIntyre, who's got a new gimmick.
Oh, no. Don't call it a new gimmick, because that's what I thought as well.
And his new gimmick is, look at my sexy body. That's his gimmick now. He's Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. He calls himself the Sexy Scotman. And he goes over to this old deer in the front row here like, she wants a bit of me. Look at my sexy body.
It's the thing is,
new gimmick now.
The thing is, McIntyre is incredibly charismatic.
Yeah.
Like, he almost made this work, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it would.
But, I mean, I don't like the gimmick. But because I prefer him, you know, how he was before. But I guess if it's going to lead to good things for him, then you do you, buddy.
Yeah. Want my baby back. What was he looking at?
I was going to do a quote, then realized that I couldn't because it's got a swear word in it.
I mean, we're talking about how Paul Heyman is stuck in the 90s. Like, what's more being stuck in the 90s than referencing
Austin Powers?
Than referencing a movie that came out in 1999? Come on, sexy. So that's his new gimmick now. Is he's no longer the Scottish cycle path. He's now the sexy Scotman.
Which is really unfortunate because one of my joke presents that I got one of my friends was a WWE calendar. And across all of the pages, I wrote little things and jokes about them. And there was one for Drew McIntyre. And on his forehead, I wrote the Scottish cycle path.
Nice.
And now he's not that anymore. That joke doesn't even make sense.
He might still be. This might have been a 1 week thing.
There was also a bit where there was... Sammy wasn't the focus. Sammy Zayn was in a picture on one of them. And I wrote on his back, when was the last time I had a match? And then he bloody had a match on SmackDown. God. It's the worst.
I feel like WWE have been going out of their way to ruin all of the videos that we pre-made for Christmas.
Yeah.
And now your Christmas presents.
Yeah. They just hate me.
Shame on them.
I know.
Guess what? Drew McIntyre won a squash match.
Great.
Yeah, he hit the Claymore on Hawkins. Counting the fans down to it now.
3, 2, 1. Claymore.
And then hit the Future Shock on Ryder and pins both of them.
Cool.
So I think that's also now part of his act.
Sure.
Counting down to the Claymore. It's a lot like the Brogue. You know, a lot of sweet chin music, tuning up the band, Seth Rollins burn it down. This is now, I'm guessing, Drew's new thing.
It's possibly that, or it could have just been a New Year's special. Because it's like a New Year's Eve type thing.
Yeah, that's a good
maybe.
Point.
Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't pick up on that. I might have just been thick and not picked up on that that aspect of it. I thought we're introducing a new element. I thought maybe it was a baby face.
Totally could be. Could be either. No idea.
Sexy body. Anyway, Brock Lesnar's back next week. Crowd booed that because he wasn't here this week.
Yep.
And Rey Mysterio is getting an antiquated rematch clause for the United States Championship.
Sure.
And we're also getting a triple threat between Viking Raiders, Street Profits, and the OC for the tag straps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I loved this next segment.
I thought it was great.
Mark Henry did it better.
Totally.
But I did love this segment. Randy Orton comes out on crutches. They've been building up all night that, hey, Randy picked up an injury at a house show in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It was our lead story yesterday in the WrestleTalk news. Mm-hmm. We all got worked, brother. And it's annoyingly. So I just finished the news.
Mm-hmm.
Editor had sent it back to me. I just finished watching it. We were loading it into the back end, just about to push it live. Randy Annie Datsun sent me Fightful's report being like, by the way, it's a work. And I'm like, God damn it. Anyway, we all got worked, brother. At least I got worked.
Yeah.
So Randy Orton comes out in his crutches and he gives a very, very somber promo. It's a very, like, it felt like a very genuine promo.
It's like when the commentators do the quiet, serious voice. And yeah. He's been taken to a local medical facility.
Yeah. I really bought into this, and he talks about how, like, you know, he's got a lot of respect for people, but one of the people he respects the most is Edge, who had to give up his career due to an injury. He was wrestling in a house show and he landed funny. I felt something pop in my knee. And I'll be out for a long time, and truth be told, I might not be able to come back at all. And the crowd were really buying into this. Lots of no chance and Randy. But he's going to work hard to make sure that someone gets RKO'd at WrestleMania. And it felt like the big sort of like, and I'll be back.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, and someone's going to get an RKO, and the crowd go great for it, break for it. And then AJ comes out, and I'm like, okay. here's where we're going here.
So yeah, I put fourth note as a Randy Orton comes out on crutches, gets assistance in the ring, cuts a promo in his slow deep voice indicating an injury, and then I said, this is too set up, someone's going to attack him.
I'll be honest, my favorite thing about this though was Randy Orton's entrance on crutches was the same length of time it would take him to do a regular entrance. Because good lord, that man is slow walking.
He is, isn't he?
He's the sort of person I get stuck behind when I'm walking to the tube. I'm like, get out of the way, man! Trying to get home.
How did he manage to take up the whole width of this platform? Get out of my way.
Everyone's trying to do their Christmas shopping, all right? get out of bloody Westfield. Anyway, so AJ comes out and he's gutted that he's going to have to wait until WrestleMania to fight Randy Orton again. Makes fun of him playing games. Goes like, I haven't done this since I was 5 years old. Not touching you. I thought AJ was great in all of this.
He's such a slimy heel. Oh, I loved it.
Perfect. And he's like, I'm going to put my arms behind my back. Like, put my chin out. Like, RKO me, Randy. RKO me. It was so, so good. And then it says, at WrestleMania, I'm going to put you in the calf crush and make you tap out. And I'm going to end your career. And he kicks away one of the crutches. And still at this point, I thought, okay, so we're going to get and Randy AJ at WrestleMania. This feels like we're totally building to that match.
Yeah.
And they know that Randy will be back at that time. I genuinely was still worked by all of this. And then Randy says, you know, AJ, you're a patient man, but I'm not. Boom, RKO out of nowhere, left AJ laying, jumped up and down on his knee. It was all a ruse.
All a ruse.
I loved it.
It was great,
I thought it was awesome. I thought both men did great.
I didn't buy that Randy was injured, but I did think that, like, oh, maybe he's having some time off, and they're just using an injury angle.
It's a fake injury angle.
It's a fake injury.
To build to Mania.
Exactly, and they'll bring him back at Mania. They're going to do AJ Randy rematch from last year's WrestleMania again.
Yeah, it's a great match.
Which would be awesome. Yeah, I'd be so down for that. I was like, oh, that's a really unique, nice way to do it, to give him some time off and to bring him back at Mania. And then he was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, well, never mind. I guess we're doing it at Rumble.
I'll see you at the Rumble then. and this is so the report has come out as well that this is something we're going to see more of going forwards. House show attendance is way down in WWE. Their live event shows are not selling tickets. I mean, Sean Ross Sapp was tweeting photos from Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. So he like arrived and he took a photo and it was like totally empty.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is the crowd for the Madison Square Garden show. And then posted up, was like, JK, we're an hour early. And so that's why it was empty. But then posted a follow-up photo when it was full and it still looked dead empty. And he was like, oh, okay, it was not less of a joke now.
Yeah.
So house show attendance is down across the board. So what WWE are looking to do now is more things like Andrade winning the United States Championship at Madison Square Garden, Randy Orton picking up this injury that then plays into a storyline on Raw. They want to try and it's a smart thing to do. It's to drive people to go to the house shows because you don't know what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. I saw Lance Storm yesterday really tweeting heavily. It's like, you've got to go to house shows. You've got to go to house shows. It's the best way to experience WWE, which I completely agree with.
Totally,
TV tapings can be mind-numbingly boring at times.
Yeah.
But house shows are so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is something we can expect to see more of in 2020 is big things happening at house shows and playing into Raw and SmackDown.
And loser eats dog food matches. That's been announced.
Speaking of which, we've got a recap of Andrade winning the US title from Madison Square Garden, or at Madison Square Garden, from Rey Mysterio. And Rey cuts a promo about their match next week, but also kept that plate spinning that he's going to be facing AOP and Seth. I really enjoyed your and Ollie's chat about this on the Raw review last week. We were talking about how it's a much more interesting way of telling a story as opposed to, this is not just Rey and Seth. Because Seth is also involved with Owens and Joe, and they're both involved with AOP, who are also involved over. And I think it's a much more interesting way of telling stories. I was in complete agreement with you.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Genuine. If they keep this up and they start doing it with more and more characters as well, it's going to make viewing Raw much more exciting, because I think sometimes we can get into a habit of just kind of checking out. See someone come out and be like, right, it's this segment with this other person going to come out soon. I'm checking out. I know what's going to happen. Whereas now it's actually going to kind of keep us guessing a little bit. Completely. So I think it's a much better viewing experience.
And speaking of which, actually, we got Andrade in a match next with an enhancement talent, but it didn't last very long. They've completely dropped the Vega Andrade split.
Yeah, happening anymore.
I'm all for. I didn't think they should have done it in the first place. I thought it was a really silly thing to do, but they've completely dropped it. They've also completely dropped those teas of Andrade turning babyface when he had his match with Seth.
Yeah.
All of that is gone. We're back to classic Andrade Vega. I'm quite happy with that. For it.
Yep.
But this match doesn't get very long because Vega starts tearing up the mats, which is like his new spot. That's how he took out Carrillo. And he's going to do the Hemlock DDT to this poor lad, but Ricochet runs down to make the save. And you talk about this sort of multiple paths. Like, you know, Rey could easily head back towards Andrade. In fact, he's next week. He's facing Andrade for the title. But you've got Ricochet involved in this now. You've also got Humberto Carrillo possibly making a return. So you've got multiple people in this one storyline, which does make it way more interesting. I'm really enjoying this as well. And then that led to Andrade and Ricochet having a very fun match.
Yeah. When he had the match against the enhancement talent, I was like, oh, why would you put him in this match? Why couldn't you have him against like Cedric Alexander or Apollo Crews or Ricochet? And then Ricochet came out. I was like, you know what? Sometimes you just know better than me.
So we had the SmackDown last year. It was when they put Kofi in the gauntlet match before Elimination Chamber. Both me and Ollie had the exact same note. I was like, oh, I wish it was Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
And by the end of that match, being like, I'm an absolute moron. Exactly. Of course it's Kofi. Yeah. Like, of course Kofi's the right choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just know better.
Yeah.
Andrade and Ricochet had a fun little match. They teased the DDT on the concrete again, but Andrade backdropped Ricochet into it. Andrade worked him over. Ricochet made a comeback. And then Vega pushed Ricochet off the top rope, so he landed on that injured back. Hemlock DDT for the Andrade win. So we really are back to that classic Vega interference to pick up the Andrade win.
Mm-hmm. All for it.
All for it.
Love it.
And then Vega and Andrade cut a promo backstage with not Renee Young. And Vega said that he's going to win next week.
Yep. Which I really hope he does.
And then we got the wedding, which we covered at the top of this show. Overall, I believe I gave it a high average because I loved the opening two segments.
Me too. Yeah, I thought they were great.
And I thought the wedding was silly nonsense fun. Niggles I had with it aside, problems I had with it aside, overall, I did laugh and I had and I was like, it's a Paul Heyman wedding. Of course it was this.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed the Randy AJ stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a high average because the other stuff really brought it down for me.
Yeah.
The Drew stuff and the Charlotte stuff, which went on forever. Like that Charlotte and Natalya match, like it felt like it lasted longer than both the first two segments combined. It just went on and on and on. So a lot of the other stuff, and the Eric Roman squash match, which I'm so done with now.
Yeah.
So a lot of that really brought it down for me, which is why I went with a high average in the end. What did you think?
I would have done slightly lower. I still would have done an average, but probably like a mid to low average rather than a high one. Just because I really, really hated that wedding and it took up so much of the show.
Yeah, really did.
Like you said, I really liked the opening parts. First two segments I thought were awesome and the Randy AJ stuff was cool. I even kind of liked the McIntyre stuff. I'm not overly against it yet. Give me a bit of time and then I probably will be, but for now it's okay. I would have given it a 3 out of 5 as well.
But let's get into your super chats. This one comes in from Timon Zumaki. This is again in reference to the wedding. So the ending angle was bad, but we've seen worse in the celebrated Attitude Era. Triple H, blah, blah, blah. In fairness, Triple H having sex with Katie Vick was in Ruthless Aggression. It wasn't in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Mae Young giving birth to a hand, that was in the Attitude Era, and so on. DX did... they did effectively rape someone on an episode of Raw at the end of an angle. I think it might have been Stephanie, in fact. Because like Vince McMahon even calls Triple H a rapist at one point.
Oh,
and then
yay.
They really just glossed over a lot of that.
Super fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. Attitude Era. But anyway, yeah. So divisive angle.
Yeah, yeah. One of those.
Power Packers has said WWE's big LGBT angle was a lesbian catfight. Yep. Well, it's Paul Heyman for you.
Yep.
Adam Pearson,
hey,
congrats to you, Adam. I hope you enjoyed your shout out in yesterday's news for winning Celebrity Mastermind.
I know, what a lad.
What an absolute lad with the chosen category of WWE in the 21st century. Although, Adam, I did watch it. I don't know how you got those first two questions wrong, man. Honestly.
Some people.
Some people. I was like, come on, mate. They set you up because they said, who won the tag team titles with Edge on an episode of SmackDown in 2002 and later got inducted into the Hall of Fame? I was like, it's Hogan, right? Poor old Adam said Christian. I was like, oh, Adam. He said he went to the Hall of Fame. There's no chance Christian's getting in the Hall of Fame.
That's true, yeah.
But I thought you did great, man. I thought it was wicked.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says the Lars should have returned for Lashley's love. All Elite DK. Lol, I didn't realize it was Liv for a few seconds. Same here, mate. I wrote that in my notes, Liv Morgan. And then I was like, but is it? Sid Art Online. Tomorrow's headline, Vince Russo back in WWE. Oh, it's Paul Heyman, mate.
Paul Heyman, man.
Vince Russo, there would have been spaceships involved. Yeah, and like true, lightning bolts and something. Yeah. And way more returns. And actually, it would have turned out that Lana was a man. That would have been Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Kian Harvey, Liv loves Lana. Try repeating that over and over. Nice. A Rebel's Kingdom. I laughed throughout this whole segment. People are trying to save Liv's gimmick as having a split personality, but I don't think so at this point.
Nor do I.
Nor do I. I think I agree with what someone said earlier in the Super Chats, which was I think Liv was going down a very different path to what WWE Creative was going. Yeah. DaTrain24 says, Chop, you said lesbian storyline, but it sounded like Livesbian.
Knowing WWE,
they might coin that phrase, Live the Livesbian.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
Don't give them ideas. They watch this show.
Yeah.
A Rebel's Kingdom. Also, Crystal should have returned as Bobby Lashley's ex-wife. I thought she might have done. I think they might have brought Crystal out.
Yeah.
Mandy and Sonya were kind of upset on Twitter after last night. Yep, that's in Pete's news, which we'll get up later. And he also gets in touch to say that Punk's tweet was... after the segment, WWE needs to hire people who actually understand what representation means to the audience that they're trying to reach. But what do I know? I'm a bear. I suck the heads off fish.
I saw a Punk's tweet when they announced they had the Lana Lashley wedding graphic and they put it up on Twitter. Punk responded to that as well. Just be like, oh, it would suck if someone got fired. It's like, all right, Punk. Jesus.
Oh, Lord. Going for the jugular, mate. Yeah, he had another one as well about the opening angle, saying like the one thing he'd like to see left in 2019 is people standing around waiting for someone to do a dive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of right.
It's a shame that Punk's not on backstage tomorrow.
And it'd be good, wouldn't it?
He wouldn't be allowed to say any of it. No. DadTrain24, last Springer episode was July 26, 2018. Was it really? Is he still on telly?
Well, not anymore, he's not. It was July 2018. But
even so, that's way sooner than I would have thought. Well, I completely take that back then. Kevin said, when you look at those vignettes and the payoff, Liv's return looks like a Funkasaurus situation.
Totally. Or an Emelina situation. Or anyone else situation that's happened to.
Jack Dolan should have come out to... Jack Dolan says, Dolph should have come out to say, it should have been me!
Yeah, that actually would have got a pop out of me, not going to lie.
Nate drops surname. We've got a lot of messages about this wedding.
We have,
saying, you keep saying the story is over. I think Rusev is the only part that's over. Crowd couldn't care less except for Rusev J. Charles. But that shows that it's over.
Yeah, that's
because
the point
of it. They're so against Lana and Lashley that they want to see Rusev come out and spoil things. Yeah. So they're all over. Lana's over as a heel.
Yeah.
And they don't like when Lana interrupts them and interrupts their Rusev Day chance to get Lana Day chance. Mm-hmm. So I think all three of them are, and you know, hopefully Liv off the back of it could get really over off that.
That would be nice.
He also thought it was the worst thing on Raw. I thought the Charlotte match was way worse. Anton H said, a lot of good wrestling, but wedding got the loudest pop.
Totally.
Yeah. Scam Baiting Weasel. Great name. Why did Lana come out to Nick Jr. cartoon music? Nick Jr. is a bit after my time, so I don't really know what that would sound like, unfortunately.
Well, it'd probably sound like Lana's entrance music.
Fair enough. Adrian Penner says, wedding segment stunts. This is so dumb. First husband appears. Oh, my God. Love appears. I love drama. Well, I think you might have said Liv appears. Do you want to take our next one on the Joe and Owens?
Yes, we've got a couple about the Joe and Owens angle. James... DOB44 said, love the idea of Team KO Joe. Huge potential there. I agree, 100%. And Kevin says, KO has tweeted #KJoe. I think the SWAT agent come up with a better tag team name than that. I mean, yeah, Ultra Unit, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ultra Unit is what we had way back when.
Yeah. We got one about Black and Murphy as well. The AdNap2 said, my dad came in during the Black Murphy match during the rest hold every bloody time.
Poor timing.
Terrible timing. We got a couple about Rowan, Lincoln, Jack Dummy said, how to make your giants and monsters. Make them say, Rawr! Yeah, that sounds about right. Jobber JJ says, Rawr! So Rowan is new Sid Vicious.
It's the new Brawn.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
On WWE, Miscellaneous, as Ollie Davis would say, start recording. Who do you think will be the next singles champion between the US title, IC title, oh, bloody hell, Universal title and WWE title? I say Korea for US, Strowman for IC, Reigns for Universal, and Velasquez for WWE.
I literally hope none of those come true. Maybe Strowman.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Although Nakamura's done nothing with it anyway, so.
I know, but I just kind of don't want to see Strowman. No, No, I do want to see Strowman as IC.
Yeah. I can see Kariyo being US, though, and Reigns for the Universal Championship, because that was my big prediction for 2020, that he'll unmask the Fiend at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Start Recording also says, do you think there's a decent chance that Lesnar could fight Ricochet at the Rumble? Oh, I think they'll have Ricochet in the Rumble, so he can do one of his wacky spots.
Exactly, yeah. I think it will be... Oh, but he always faces small guys at the Rumble, so...
I mean, it could be Ricochet. Certainly could be.
Ray.
I mean, who else would it be? Because, everyone else is, really busy with other stuff. Like, all of, the top, tippity-top guys are involved in other angles.
That's true.
So, who is there for... Because he's not been around for so long. We haven't seen him all December. So, who could be set up as the new contender for him?
Dominic. Mysterio.
I was going to think you were going to say Dijakovic for a second then. I was like, okay.
I mean,
why not?
Mysterio, that one.
NC Kitty Fishing says, I think Drew was the best part of the show. Seems like he was feeling good. By the way, I love you guys and all the work you do. Well, we love you.
He's very charismatic.
He's very charismatic. Very handsome devil as well.
He is, yeah.
I've never seen a naked Mexican, says, so Randy Orton faked an injury against AJ Styles in a house show to trick AJ Styles into a confrontation on Raw. Makes no sense. It's mind games.
I mean, you're not wrong. But also it was good.
Mind games. Cliven Miller says, I didn't have a reaction to the wedding. Black and Murphy was awesome. And Tyler Chopper music video was amazing. Sorry, been a while. Wanted to support you. Well, thank you very much, Clifford.
Thanks, Clifford.
And it is a great music video.
It's all right.
It's great. It's the best thing we've done.
It's fine.
Justin Thomas says, honestly, you can throw the whole Raw away.
Not the whole one. The opening was good.
The opening was great. And the Black Murphy match was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
And as you said, I enjoyed the Randy Orton angle.
Yeah.
Do you want to take our next bit?
Yeah, we've got some WrestleTalk miscellaneous ones as well. Mr. Doback said, Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, we haven't said Happy No Year. Happy No Year. It's from Friends. It's what me and my friends always say to each other. Happy No Year, everyone.
Yeah. Samad Ali said, hey, I hope you guys had a great Christmas. Also, hope you enjoy New Year's. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Samad Ali.
Thank you
again for your card. You're going to get your Patreon shout out video next month when Ollie's back in the office.
Hell yeah, new $100 pledge hammer.
Mm.
George the Great said, Happy New Year from New Zealand. It's 2020 here.
Oh, of course, it's 2020 already.
Happy 2020.
In the future.
I was going to say, we're talking in the future over there.
Yeah, what's it like?
It's weird.
What's it like over there? What's it like in the future?
Yeah. Joe Ray said, thank you, Luke, for your kind words on my tweet.
Oh, no, well, thank you, Joe, for getting in touch. But yeah, no, seriously, try and reach out to the correct local people that you need to speak to. Like, it's a very, very serious thing.
Mm-hmm. DaTrain24 said...
But stay strong, brother.
Big thumbs up. I don't have cable currently. Watching these makes me happy. I can't watch Raw. Y'all are more entertainment than Raw.
We're sports entertainment.
Yeah. Mark Desio said, first super chat, Happy New Year from Australia.
Happy New Year to you, mate. Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Yes, Australian stereotypes. Start Recording said,
can of Foster's.
What is something that you guys regret learning in the past decade? Doesn't have to be wrestling related. I don't think you should regret learning anything, because learning is very good.
Yeah,
what do you regret? The more you know, the better.
What do you regret learning? God, that's tough. The Rolf Harris is a paedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah. But I'm glad he got caught.
Danny Trashman DeVito said, Happy New Year, British guys.
And Happy New Year to you.
I can't even pronounce YNVSDP Rizzy. I don't know. Happy New Year, Wrestle Talk. You guys are the best.
You're the best.
Flame Inc. said, your plans for 2019 New Year's Bash? Also, with New Japan having no broadcast to the US, how will Wrestle League work going forward?
Oh, well, we'll still have... the Wrestle League predictions for Japan for New Japan shows, because
can watch it on New Japan World.
Yeah, exactly. We'll still have those. Yeah, I'm driving down to Brighton after this show is finished. I've got to go down there for New Year's.
And I am doing nothing.
And I'm kind of jealous of your plans.
Can't wait.
And we got some last minute messages that come in. Quite a few last minute messages. It feels like the super chats are back.
Yeah, they really have.
And it's
I didn't do a post show today because I didn't think we'd have that many.
Post show. Anyway, we'll get through these. A Rebels Kingdom says Jerry Springer has his own judge show. Oh, so it's not like the old Springer shows? It's more Judge Rinder? Was that something?
I don't know.
Trenton Brown says, fun fact, Luke, Jerry Springer has a new show called Judge Jerry. Why Jerry has a show where he's a judge is beyond me.
Who can say?
America.
Yeah.
Simi Gamma says, they got me with Liv, thought it would be Emelina too. It is Emelina too.
Really? Right.
Daniel Feral Buffalo Column says, Lesnar versus AOP at the Rumble. I know, because AOP would have to lose, and you don't want them to lose right now.
Unless they just win and become co-WWE champion.
Or unless it's like, was it KO and Sammy?
KO and Sammy were going to be co. Yeah. They'd beat AJ. Yeah,
that was AJ, and then he said it was Roman. A Rebels Kingdom says, if WWE really wants to put over NXT, Keith Lee should win the Rumble instead of Reigns for a huge pop.
That would be massive.
Yeah. That was actually someone's wild prediction in our 2020 prediction show, that Keith Lee would win the Rumble but stay in NXT.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really good.
Harriet Manga Girl says, I just want to wish you all a happy new year and thank you for all the videos you've made this year and all the entertainment you've provided. Well, thank you so much
for watching. Thank you very much.
You enjoyed all of the extra, mostly out-of-date content that we put over the Christmas period. It was dated as soon as we finished recording it.
Yeah.
Curse you, WWE.
Wrestling.
Justin Thomas said, who do you think is winning the Dusty Classic? I think it's Imperium, personally.
Ooh.
Have they announced the lineup, or is it just they're doing the Dusty Classic?
I don't know. I know they announced the Dusty Classic, but I haven't seen last week's episode of NXT.
I don't know. I didn't watch Raw last week or SmackDown.
Yeah.
I've been on a Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not watched any wrestling.
So I didn't
see NXT last week either. And lastly, Ziggy Gamma says, although Imperium is a very good shout for that. And lastly, Ziggy Gamma says, late on this, now have money to say that I wasn't mad at Hell in a Cell because I never thought for a second Bray was winning, won my own prediction league because of it. Oh, congrats to you.
You're smarter than the rest of us.
Yes. But that is all.
We've got one more.
Timothy Jones, Randy name dropped Edge, rated RKO versus the OC.
Oh,
well, they did tease, there was a report. I think it was PW Insider that said that Edge might be in the Rumble, but Edge himself has said no.
He said no and no. And then some people were like, but that's what he would say.
Exactly. It means he's probably in the Rumble then.
Yeah.
We've got a WrestleTalk Get Better / Rusev Hay here from Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Read that out on SmackDown.
Oh, Headman!
I'm sorry.
Don't send it to multiple people,
I know, it's terrible. Because now because you're not on every show.
I know.
Everyone's just like, well, I'll send it to both of them and one of them will read it.
One of them will
get
to
it. But then we don't correspond about which ones we've read.
Oh, it's because we're very bad at our jobs.
Yeah, totally.
Right, so instead I will do this one from Austin. Did he say? No, he just sent it to me. It says, hey, Luke, I have a bit of an to the ordinary Rusev Hay this time. I decided with Christmas season being here to message a bunch of wrestlers on Instagram to wish them Merry Christmas. Not expecting anything back, I kind of forgot about it. I logged into Instagram a few days ago to find a reply. It was from Zack Ryder.
Nice.
I thought this was awesome and didn't expect anything until the King of Bros himself messaged me back to wish a Merry Christmas. Now it may seem silly to get excited over a couple of words from some random wrestlers, but it really made my Christmas, getting a Merry Xmas from the Matt Riddle himself. As always, picture it didn't happen, so here are screenshots of the messages. I'll send you another email if I get any late replies. I've also included a picture of me and my family on Christmas. Hope you guys had a great one. Look forward to Luke and Ollie and Pete return in the coming year. From Austin Tussie. So yeah, there's Zack Ryder just saying you too.
Nice.
And the King of Bros saying Merry Christmas, bro.
Bro.
Very, very nice. Good. Although you did not attach the photo of you and your family.
No, you didn't.
There's a follow-up email that says, there it is.
Oh, here we go.
And there's the picture of him and his family.
Oh, that's lovely.
Lovely stuff.
A massive tree that is.
That is a big... Well, that looks like it's in a department store.
I was going to say, I don't think that's at home, is it?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. Thank you. We had quite a lot of correspondence over the Christmas period, but I think some of them I've got to save for an episode with Davis on.
Makes sense.
A lot of feedback on the Christmas podcast.
Oh, boy, howdy. Has everyone had a big one?
Showed my wife that.
So did I. Showed my lady fighter is bonkers.
on Boxing Day, I was like, can I just show you this one thing from the Christmas special?
Yep.
And she was like, I was crying with laughter rewatching it. And she was like, oh, you're just mean boys.
She's not wrong.
So funny.
In fairness, she's not wrong.
I made myself laugh on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, the video went up because... Also, actually, reminds me. You know, I told you that I forgot to load it into the podcast feed?
Yeah.
I think I did, but it wasn't in the back end. But when I looked at my podcast app on Christmas Day, there were two episodes of it, there were two versions of it loaded. One of the one was the one I loaded, and one of the ones was you did.
What?
But for whatever reason, my one, the one I loaded on the day when we were very, very drunk and had to go to our Christmas party, isn't showing up in the back end. So I've no idea where it is in cyberspace. I don't know if everyone got double version.
Yeah.
So I've no idea.
I haven't checked, actually, my podcast feed, so I can't tell you.
So apologies if you looked and be like, why have you loaded this twice? Although you might have gone like, well, it probably makes sense why they loaded it twice. But I messaged Pete the day after when you were in for the sweater review. I was like, sorry, Pete, I know you got a lot on your plate, mate, and you're hungover, but also I forgot to do this. Can you please do it for me?
Yeah, I've got two as well.
Oh, what? Geez. Come on, Acast. But anyway, what I was going to say, so I made myself laugh on Christmas Day because I'd you know, saw the video go live and I was just scrolling through the comments and I was just laughing at a lot of people saying, like, have a big one.
Yep.
And I all of a sudden just had a memory of us playing the video, like, because we had that big old laugh. I said, we've got a video from Dan, and I just pipes up going like, it's not him wanking, is it?
I almost forgot that happened because I just watched the big one bit, and then I kind of just left it on while I was just laughing about it with my lady partner, and then I just heard that comment from Ollie and I just died laughing again. It was so good.
It was so silly,
so funny.
I feel like we shouldn't be sitting here just like, you know, patting ourselves on the back and be like, oh, look how hilarious we are. But
it was a good time.
We had a lot of emails in from people who very much enjoyed the Christmas special, so thank you to all of you who sending your feedback to the Christmas podcast. I think Trombo, Nate Drop's Surname, we'll go out these emails in more detail. Harrison also got in touch with about it as well, so thank you all so much. It was I left the party at one point because I had to I effectively missed my last train. So I had to get a train to White City and then get a taxi the rest of the way.
Oh, lovely.
1% battery on my phone.
Oh, mate,
I just about got into a taxi with so it's a bit of a
close call.
But every now and again I will hear a song and I will go, We did this at karaoke. And then I just keep thinking, I was like, did I hog the karaoke all night long?
You were on it quite a bit.
I couldn't put the microphone down.
No, you were. I got
into it. And then I felt bad. I was like, oh no, I was that guy.
I mean, if we're going to talk about people getting into things, did you see me doing Lose Yourself? me and Ollie spoke about it on the Raw podcast.
I listened to your Raw Review podcast.
Oh, God, yeah.
And your little rap song.
Yeah.
It's on Spotify. I've not listened to it yet because I was listening to the podcast yesterday coming into work. I had to get the bloody train in yesterday from Reading.
Oh,
mate, not fun.
Need the Elizabeth line to open up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
TFL, whoever it is doing it.
Those Americans will understand that.
Yeah. To get the train in from Reading to Paddington and then get the tube across. And I thought, you know, it wasn't too bad. And then I thought to myself, I've got to do this bloody return journey.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
Oh, it's not what I wanted to be doing. And I was on my own yesterday.
Oh, mate.
I know,
it's even worse.
I was on my own yesterday. It was crap.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad when I had to do it on whenever I did it.
I was going to say, you were in like all the bloody time over the Christmas period.
Most days. It wasn't Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Yeah, I was in. And Sunday. And yesterday. But I was quite happy though when, because me and Ollie were talking about it when we were in on Christmas Eve. And we were talking about the schedule and all that. And he was like, do you not have Monday off? And I was like, well, no, because I'm in to do the news. And he said, well, but you're in on Saturday. I was like, well, yeah, but I've got Christmas Day and Boxing Day off. So I assumed, you know, that's covering it. I've got days off. And he was like, yeah, but it doesn't feel right. You're in on Saturday, though. And I was like, yeah, but it's fine. And he was like, Luke's in, right? And I was like, I mean, he's not off. Luke's doing the news. I was like, okay.
Well, to be honest, I figured you weren't going to be in because Monday's usually your day off anyway.
That's true.
So I just figured that I would be on my tots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is just random chat.
This is a random admin chat. I don't know how we got into that.
Yeah. So, it's the last podcast of 2019. It's the last podcast of this decade. Mm. We've done 2 full years of the WrestleTalk podcast.
Ooh, wow, yeah.
At the end of 2019 marks. I think we started it in fact, I can tell you because I can get my podcast stats.
Wasn't it a WrestleMania? Wasn't it WrestleMania 33? Review?
Yes. I think July is when we actually, because we were doing the YouTube version.
That's right.
But we hadn't turned it into a podcast at that point. especially the podcast as it currently is now. So July 2017 was our first version of this this show. The first week of July, in fact.
Yeah. So 2.5 years.
So 2.5 years going into our big old third year on the Wrestle Talk podcast. A lot of changes have happened. A lot of faces have come.
So many, yeah.
Sounds like a Danism.
Hey, okay.
But thank you all so much for joining us on this crazy little journey where there's been super chats. I've just looked, we've got quite a few super chats in already. Hope people enjoy the super chats. But we'll be back. Do you know what? We're going to be back not tomorrow, but the day after. Because the NXT review, basically, come Thursday.
Full schedule.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
None of this. No more time off. No more extra shows. Back to bloody normal.
Yeah.
We've got AEW and NXT on Thursday. You're going to be doing SmackDown on Saturday with Randy Andy Datsun.
Totally.
And then Ollie and I will be back probably for the Friday show. Yeah. Oh, Smeg. No, we've got Wrestle Kingdom stuff.
Yeah, we do.
So So we'll have a magazine show on the Friday. Then I think the plan is we're going to do a full Wrestle Kingdom roundup show on Sunday.
Oh, really?
I think so. Well, that's what's currently in the schedule. Is
I know
because
we're doing live reactions.
We are doing live reactions because Laurie and Simon are doing the reactions to day one.
Yes.
And then you're doing the SmackDown review.
Correct.
And then on the Sunday, Ollie and I are doing live reactions to day two of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
And then I believe we're going to do like
a
encompassing review of like, here is the Wrestle Kingdom 14 review.
Right. Got
so
you.
I think that is going to go up as a podcast.
That sounds about right.
It's currently on the schedule. It depends on how Ollie's feeling when we come in on Sunday.
That's
It may not happen. Yeah. but either way, we'll be back with the normal schedule at some point soon.
Yes.
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.